Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraye Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki Krishna Vasudevaya Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Bhagavatam Tirthaspadam Shiva Vidinchinutam Sharanyam Pranatapala Bhavabdhipotam Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam Dhyeyam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham Tirthaspadam Shiva virinchinutam sharanyam Bhrityartiham pranatapala bhavabdhipotam Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam Dhyeyam Sada Paribhavagnam Abhishtadoham Tirthaspadam Shiva Virinchinutam Sharanyam Bhrityartiham Pranatapala Bhavabdhipotam Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam Yeyam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham Tirthaspadam shiva virinchinutam sharanyam Bhrityartiham pranatapala bhavabdhipotam Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam Tirthaspadam Shiva Virinchinutam Sharanyam Bhava శతాబ్దిపోతం వందే మహాపురుషతే చరణారణ ధ్యేయం సదా పరిభవగ్నమభీష్టదోహం తీర్థాస్పదాం శివ విరించినుతం శరణ్యం భృత్యార్తిహం ప్రణతపాలభవాబ్దిపోతం పురుషతే చరణార్ వందే మహాపురుషతే చ వైష్ణవీస్ ధ్యేయం సదా పరిభవఘ్నమభీష్టదోహం తీర్థాస్పదం శివ విరించినుతం శరణ్యం తీర్థార్థిహం ప్రణతపాలభవాబ్ధిపోతం వందే మహాపురుషతే చరణారుణం ధ్యేయం ఫిట్ టు బి మెడిటేటెడ్ అపాన్ సదా ఆల్వేస్ పరిభవ ద ఇన్సల్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ ఘ్నం విచ్ డిస్ట్రాయ్ అభీష్ట ద ట్రూ డిజైర్ ఆఫ్ ద సోల్ దేహం దోహం విచ్ ఆంప్లీ రివార్డ్ తీర్థ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద హోలీ ప్లేసెస్ అండ్ గ్రేట్ సైంట్లీ పర్సనాలిటీస్ ఆస్పదం ద అబోర్డ్ శివ విరించి బై ద గ్రేటెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద డెమిగాడ్స్ లార్డ్ శివ అండ్ బ్రహ్మ నుతం విచ్ ఆర్ బౌడ్ డౌన్ టు శరణ్యం మోస్ట్ వర్ది ఆఫ్ టేకింగ్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ భృత్య ఆఫ్ యువర్ సర్వెంట్స్ ఆర్తిహం విచ్ రిలీవ్ ద డిస్ట్రెస్ ప్రణతపాల ఓ ప్రొటెక్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ హూ సింప్లీ ఆఫర్ రెస్పెక్ట్స్ టు యూ భవాబ్ధి ఆఫ్ ద ఓషన్ ఆఫ్ బర్త్ అండ్ డెత్ పోతం విచ్ ఆర్ అ సూటబుల్ బోట్ ఫర్ క్రాసింగ్ వందే ఐ ఆఫర్ మై హోమేజ్ మహాపురుష ఓ లార్డ్ మహాప్రభు తే టు యువర్ చరణారవిందం లోటస్ ఫీట్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై ద డిసైపుల్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఇస్ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాదకి My dear Lord, you are the Mahapurusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I worship your lotus feet, which are the only eternal object of meditation. Those feet destroy the embarrassing conditions of material life and freely award the greatest desire of the soul, the attainment of pure love of Godhead. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the shelter of all holy places, and of all saintly authorities in the line of devotional service, and are honored by powerful demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. My Lord, you are so kind that you willingly protect all those who simply bow down to you with respect, and thus you mercifully relieve all the distress of your servants. In conclusion, my Lord, your lotus feet are actually the suitable boat for crossing over the ocean of birth and death, and therefore, even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva seek shelter at your lotus feet. In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet are glorified here. He is called as a Mahapurusha. And how his lotus feet are the object of meditation for great saintly people, as well as great demigods like Brahma and Shiva. And how his lotus feet bestows both freedom from samsara or freedom from suffering on one hand. On the other hand, they bestow pure love of God for those who take shelter of the lotus feet. And all we need to do, this translation says, is just bow down our head in submissiveness to the lotus feet without reservation, And for those who do it, they are at once accepted by the Lord as His own. And then Lord bestows all His mercy upon them. So this is a very long purport. And I have been given the first two paragraphs only. So I will read the first two paragraphs of the purport and then we will discuss. The incarnation of the personality of Godhead in Kali Yuga is described. Who is that incarnation of personality of Godhead in Kali Yuga? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is described and worshipped in this verse. The sage Karabhajana, after describing the incarnation of Godhead in each of the three previous yugas, namely Satya, Treta and Dwapara, presented suitable prayers which are utilized for glorifying the Lord in each particular age. And that was done before. Previously, it's a very interesting section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, 5th chapter. Here you will find in Satya Yuga, who is the personality? Who is the Yuga Avatar? What is his name? How does he look like? What is his bodily hue? And with what prayer we should worship him? He said that. And not only that, and in that age, what was the quality of people? Like Nirvairaha, Shantaha, Samadarshanaha. Like that, there are many qualities of the people given in Satya Yuga. They were free from envy. They were totally 100% pious and religious. They were very enthusiastic for practicing religion and everything. Then the Treta Yuga, living entities were, it is said they were Brahmavadinaha. They were always studying the Dharmishtaha. Dharmishta means they were very religious. Brahmavadina means they were always absorbed in worshipping the Supreme Lord. And then when you come to the Dwapara Yuga, it says there is only one quality in Dwapara Yuga. Gradually it reduces. In Satya Yuga, six qualities are said. Treta Yuga, two are said. And Dwapara only one, Jignasavha. Little inquisitive. They just want to know what Shastras are saying. Whether they will follow or not, God knows. But they just want to know, take a what are this, Jignasavha. But in Kali Yuga, the Jignasa also is gone. When you go and show the book, not interested, they say. So we asked His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu. One boy told, Prabhu, when I was distributing book, I showed Bhagavad Gita. One boy said, I am an atheist. He said. And Prabhuji said, you should tell him, oh, you are an atheist. Wonderful. This book is exactly for you. This book is written for atheists so that they can read and understand what the truth is. He said. So, in this way, in this age, we may think probably Kali Yuga vases have no good quality. But Kalavapi, it is said. Even in Kali Yuga also, they have some good quality, which will be mentioned in the series of verses. And that one good quality is those who are willing to accept the holy name. And those who are willing to accept the Mahapurusha for Kali Yuga, who is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who take a shelter and chant the holy name, they are easily delivered. So that's what is mentioned here. And then the present suitable prayers for utilizing, in Satya, Treta, Dwapara, presented suitable prayers which are utilized for glorifying the Lord in each particular age. After describing the Lord's manifestation in Kali Yuga, which with the verse Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam, this and the next verse are now presented to glorify the Lord's appearance in Kali Yuga as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Varnam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in Kali Yuga and teaches everyone to chant the holy name of Krishna. The members of ISKCON movement are so much absorbed in Krishna Varnam, or chanting of the holy names of Krishna, that sometimes ordinary persons refer to them as the Krishnas. Thus, whoever comes into contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement immediately begins to worship Krishna by chanting his holy name. The words Dhyayam Sada are always to be meditated upon indicate that there are no hard and fast rules in this age for chanting the holy names of Krishna. In Kali Yuga, the authorized process of meditation is to chant the holy names of the Lord, especially the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This process is to be executed constantly and always, always, sada. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated, Nam Nam Kari Bahuda Nijasarva Shakti Statrarpita Niyamita Smaranena Kalaha. In Kali Yuga, the Supreme Lord has kindly invested all of His potencies in His holy name, and there are no hard and fast rules for chanting such names. The mention of such rules refers to Kala Desha Niyama or regulations of time and place. Normally, there are strict regulations governing the time, season, place, conditions, etc., under which one may execute a particular Vedic ceremony or chant a particular mantra. However, one should chant the holy name of Krishna everywhere and at all times, 24 hours a day. Thus, there is no restriction in terms of time and place. This is the meaning of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement. So, we welcome all of you for this Sunday morning Bhagavatam class. This 11th canto, 5th chapter, especially which glorifies Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, reveals great secret about the Mahapurusha who appears in this age, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The word Purushottama is used for Lord Narayana, and Lord Rama is called as Maryada Purushottam, and Krishna is called as Leela Purushottam or Purana Purushottam or complete manifestation of Godhead. And similarly, this is Mahaprabhu, who is also a Mahapurusha, or Purushottama. One thing common to all these personalities, are they are actually one, but they manifest themselves differently. Advaita Machyutamanadu Anantarupam, in various forms. Just like sometimes you see in a movie double acting or triple acting or multiple acting. Similarly, one person only acts in various roles. How do you know that? One time, when Advaita Acharya Prabhu, he started speaking Yoga Vashishta, which is actually a Mayavadi literature. The whole idea he had was to agitate the anger in the heart of Nimaya Pandit, so that Nimaya Pandit will see him, Advaita Acharya Prabhu, speaking on Mayavad, and then he will come and beat him up and climb on his body. So, he went to Shantipur and then saw Advaita Acharya Prabhu speaking this, then Mahaprabhu, Nimaya Pandit asked, "Hey Advaita, hey Nara, you called me to descend into this world and I was lying peacefully in the milk ocean and relaxing myself. But since you invited me to descend, I came. And did you invite me to hear all these things, what you are talking now? Tell me, is God personal or impersonal?" So when he said impersonal is the highest realization. Immediately Mahaprabhu bit him and put him down on the ground and climbed on his body, while Sita Takrani came running from inside. She said, "He's an old man. Please don't beat him up. He will die." So Advaita Acharya Prabhu started laughing loudly. And Nimaya Pandit was shocked. "You know, I am angry and he is laughing." Then Advaita said, "My dear Lord, you always treated me as your master. And you always were catching my feet. I am an old man, I can't run after you, you are a young man like you. But today, you have accepted me as your servant and climbed on me and bet me. So, this was the goal of my life. Now I have achieved my goal of my life." And he laughed. And Nimaya Pandit became very shy. But why I told you this particular pastime? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that I was lying in the milk ocean because the one who is lying in the milk ocean, or Lord Krishna, or Rama, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these personalities are absolute truth, or supreme personality of Godhead. So they are the same person, but they manifest themselves differently to exchange different rasas with different devotees. Therefore, on one hand, one should be able to see the oneness in all these forms of Krishna, Ram, Vishnu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are all Purushottama. At the same time, we worship them in a particular specific form, like for example, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the age of Kali Yuga. But he is only one person ultimately, one supreme person. And that Purushottama has a lotus feet which is glorified here. In the translation we read it, he says this lotus feet are sought by Shiva and Brahma. And all the saintly people worship this lotus feet. And he says this lotus feet can help one cross over this ocean of samsara very easily. And this lotus feet can award love of God, he says. And many more things can be said of this lotus feet. Like these are the same lotus feet massaged by Lakshmi. These are the same lotus feet which were placed on the head of Bali Maharaja. And then Bali Maharaj became blessed as a pure devotee when Lord kept his lotus feet on his head. And these are the same lotus feet which the gopis are glorifying. Pranata dehinam papakarshanam. Pranata dehinam papakarshanam. Krinacharanugam Shriniketanam. Krinacharanugam Shriniketanam. Fani fanarpitam te padambujam. Narpitam te padambujam. Krinakute shunaha krindihrchayam. Krinakute shunaha. The gopis are saying, Pranata dehinam papakarshanam. My dear Lord, anyone who surrenders to your lotus feet, in their heart, there is a mountainous amount of sinful reactions, and the dust of your feet destroys that mountain into powder, they are saying. Then they are saying, Trinachara Anugam. See, Trinachara Anugam means, who is going behind the Trin? The cows. And who is going behind the cows? Krishna. That's a Trina Chara Anugam. You follow those cows which are following the grass. They are saying. Shriniketanam. You are the husband of Goddess of Fortune. Fani Fanarpitam. The same lotus feet you used for dancing on the hoods of Kalia. They are saying. And Te Padambujam. You gave the dust of your lotus feet to even the sinful Kalia also. Very mercifully, because his devotees, his wives were the great devotees. Like that they are saying. So you will see, the lotus feet are glorified like this by the gopis also. Similarly, there is a prayer by Rukmini, she glorifies also the lotus feet. Yasyangri pankajara rajasnapanam mahanto vanchantyumapati rivatmatamopahatyai yaryam bujakshanalabheya bhavat prasadam jahyam asun vratakrishan shatajanma visyat. You know what is she saying? Last verse of Rukmini's letter. She's telling, after saying everything, my dear Lord, if you feel I am not eligible to marry you in this lifetime, please let me tell you, I am ready to wait for 100 lifetimes. And in each of the lifetimes, I am ready to perform a very severe penance, whatever you may prescribe for me. O lotus-eyed one, to attain you, I will lay down my life 100 times, she's telling. But don't force me that I have to marry Shishupal. If you tell me that I have to marry only him, I will never able to maintain my life. Like that she says. At that time she is telling, Yasyangri. Angri means the lotus feet. Yasyangri pankaja raja. The Lord's lotus feet. Raja means the dust. Snapanam mahanto. Who is applying on their head? Shiva and Brahma is telling. Shiva and Brahma. Therefore, Shiva comes as Nandishwar in Vrindavan to get the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. And Brahma comes as four gads, Mangad, Dangad, Bangad, Vilasgad. So that Krishna and Radharani and dust of the lotus feet of the devotees can be had in his head. So even they aspire for your dust on their head to purify his tamaguna, he says. Like that she is telling. So, Rukmini is glorifying. And prior to that, I told you, gopis are glorifying Krishna's lotus feet. Nagapatnis are also glorifying the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. Kasya anubhavo nadeva vidmahe tavangri renu sparashadikara yadvanchaya shrir lalanacharattapo vihaya kaman suchiram dhritavrata. They are saying, kasya anubhav. How can we understand, my dear Lord, that you are the purest of the pure, And Kaliya is the most impure of the impure. And you are dancing on his head. He must have been a very dangerous, sinful fellow in the previous life. Otherwise, how did he get the body of a snake? Generally, who gets the body of a snake? Who are very envious people. Like one son was telling all his other friends that my grandfather is such a fortunate person, he said. Why? Because when he was a sage in a shop, while counting the money, people count very carefully. No? He was counting the money. You were like counting the money, counting karte karte, haste haste mar gaye wo. He was 80-year-old man. While counting the money, he was smiling and he died. How happily he left the body. So when he told this to Jyotish person, Jyotish said, I'm very sorry to say, you'll become a snake in the next life. Because people, while counting money, they don't think of their money. They think of the neighbor's money. Always. So the envious people become snakes in the next life. So they said, this fellow, Kaliya, must have been very envious. How is it that you are putting your dust of your lotus feet on his hooves? We can't understand it. Kasyanubhavo na deva vidmahe tavangrirenu sparasha adhikara. How did he get the adhikar? Did he do any pious activity in the past life? Doesn't look so. By the way he is and the way he behaves. Actually, they didn't know one secret. The secret was they themselves were devotees. Who? Nagapatnis. Therefore, Krishna danced on Kaliya's head. Krishna is very intelligent. He knows if I want to please Nagapatnis, I have to dance on Kaliya so that they will become pleased. Because if you, for example, if you see some parents, if you give a peda to the child, the parents feel more happy than when you give it to the father or mother. Because the child is very dear to them. Similarly, if a guru calls the husband of a Mataji and then gives an embrace or a pat on the back, the Mataji is more happy than when Maharaj gives some gift to the Mataji, isn't it? Because many people aspire that our near and dear ones become devotees. And Krishna knew that. Therefore, he danced on the head of Kaliya. So, this they are saying, Yadu Vanchaya Shri Lalana Charattapo. Lalana Shri means Lakshmi. Lakshmi in Bilvavan is folding the palms and begging the Vrajavasis to accept her into the rasa dance. Although she is wife of Narayana, Narayana is a very serious personality. Narayana is always, you know, with Shankar Chakra Gada Padma standing. Lakshmi says, I have never seen Narayana so sportive like Krishna. Krishna is always playful. Krishna doesn't stand erect. He stands in threefold bending form. And he is playful, in a very jovial mood. And then when he is dancing in the rasa dance, even Lakshmi wants to join. But he is unable to join because all the gopis are all very simple, rustic village girls. And she is unable to become like them. But she is aspiring for that dust of Krishna's feet. Even Lakshmi. So Lakshmi is aspiring, Shiva, Brahma are aspiring. And he is glorified by Rukmini, by gopis, by Nagapatnis. All this I told you. All this is explanation about only one thing about Krishna's lotus feet. Now, once when Vishwamitra was taking Lakshman and Ram along with him, Ram Lakshman asked, my dear sir, now we have killed Tatakavad is over. And Subahu, Maricha, they're all finished. Now, is there any more demons about to come? Or what do you want us to do? Do you want us to stay with you? Or you want us to go back to palace? They asked. Vishwamitra said, there is one very important business to be completed. So you both come with me. So he took them to Mithilapuri. Before entering Mithila, at the entrance of Mithila, there was a place where Vishwamitra showed them the place. It was actually a place of the Brahmins and sages and saintly people, which had now become completely barren. And completely dusty. It was like a God-forsaken place because all of them had left that place and gone away. Nobody was residing there. So there was a thatched hut there. So he told Ram that you have to go inside the hut. Come with me. So he took Ram. As soon as Ram entered the hut and put his foot on a stone, that stone turned into Ahilya. Immediately next moment. Because long before, Gautam Rishi had cursed Ahilya to become a stone. Because of her wrong wrong dealing, wrong movement with Indra in another form. That's another story. But because she had lost her chastity, Gautama had caused her to become a stone. But when Ram put the lotus feet, the next moment, immediately Ahilya came up. And that place became a holy place even today. People go to that place to bow down because Lord Ram's lotus feet arrived there. So as soon as Lord Ram's lotus feet arrived there, thousands of people started coming to that place. Even today that has become a worshipable place. Therefore, if some sadhu mahatma comes to your house, you will see people generally will say, hum log dhanya ho gaye hain. Aapke shri charan hamare ghar mein padare hain. Like that people will say. Shri charan means lotus feet. What about me? The whole person I have come. Why only you say Shri Charan has come? Did I cut my leg and send it to your house? But why we say, amongst all the parts of the body of a great saint also, the most important part is the lotus feet, where the mercy is there. By taking the dust of the feet on one's head, one can, you know, make tremendous advancement. Similarly, when Lord Rama put his feet, he's also Purushottama. Till now I was telling about Krishna. Now I told you an example of Rama. Rama's lotus feet also. So that lotus feet dust is so powerful. It transformed Ahilya back to her original form. In this way, you will see the Lord's every limb of his body is spiritual and powerful. Till now I have been speaking about the lotus feet. Now for example, we can say something about Krishna's eyes, lotus petal like eyes. When he glances at the coward boys who have died due to the Kaliya's poison on the bank of Yamuna, all the dead coward boys return back to life. Similarly, in Agasura's mouth, all the dead boys, coward boys, they come back to life when Krishna glances at them. So his glance is so powerful. Simply by seeing, he can bring people to life, which means he has Amrita Varsha from his eyes, Amritamaya eyes. By seeing, he can bring people to life. Similarly, the sun and moon are the two eyes of the Lord also, which are hot eye and cool eye, which is glancing over the Prakriti and producing Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti, and it is producing vegetables and fruits and cereals and spices and everything. And there is a greenery everywhere. Gardens are blooming with flowers. The trees are laden with fruits. The rivers are full of water. The ocean is full of minerals. All this is possible by the glance of sun and moon. Like that. So Lord's sun and moon eyes are very powerful in producing everything, all necessities for all his children, 8.4 million species of life. Similarly, on the dawn of creation, Lord glances at the spiritual world, picks up all the living beings and puts them in the material world. So powerful is his glance. Saha Aikshata, Saha Asrijata. Asrijata means he does srishti. And then he glances and picks them and puts them simply by moving his eyes. Can you imagine how powerful are his eyes? So, therefore, we pray to Lord that please glance upon me. So that by your glance, all the impurities in me will be gone. So we come in front of the Lord and bow down at his lotus feet. And we put ourselves within the range of his eyes. You see, for a child, to be within the eyes of the mother is always safe. Correct, no? Like the mother is in the kitchen. Her one eye is in the cooker, another eye is on the child. Correct, no? And the child is playing with the toys and making a certain type of sound so mother can understand, let him enjoy. But then if the child makes a different type of sound, then mother will give up the kitchen and run to the child. So it is good for the child to be within the radar range of the mother. Similarly, we have to be within the radar range of guru and seniors. So we are also safe. If you go out of radar range, they will wonder, where is the object? Not to be seen. Where is this fellow gone? So therefore, one should regularly come to the temple and put themselves within the glance of the Lord. Then one is safe and protected. You know, there is one famous verse. Darshana dhyana samsparsha matsi kurmi chapakshini. This verse says, the fish keeps an eye on the fish children. By that, the fish protects the children fishes very nicely. Similarly, the Lord glances at the devotees and protects them. So we can, in this way, talk about every limb of the body of the Lord. About the lotus feet, about the eyes, about his hands, which give blessings also. About his chest. So, here especially the highlight is, Vande Maha Purushate Charanarabindam. That is actually the focus here. So, the Supreme Lord Purushottama, he is the supremely pure, and he manifests himself in various forms in different times. He comes as Mahavishnu, or he comes as Rama, and he comes in different forms, but one of the most important forms is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is actually Sakshat Krishna. Krishna, but in a very favorable mood, very special mood. And when we are looking at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should also remember the qualities of Krishna, Rama or Vishnu. The same qualities are manifest in him also. Like Uddhava in the 11th canto offers a prayer to Krishna. Very succinctly, this prayer glorifies the Lord's potencies and abilities in one verse only. Tasmad bhavantam anavadyam anantaparam sarvajnam ishwaramakuntha vikuntha dishnyam nirvinna dhirahamuge vrijanabhitapto narayanam narasakam sharanam prapadye. Sharanam prapadye, I offer my, I take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. He is saying, tasmad bhavantam, oh my dear Lord, who are you? Anavadyam, you are supremely pure, he says. What type of purity you have? Your purity is like the sun. The sun absorbs urine, but sun doesn't get contaminated. And the place also becomes clean. Now you don't know where the urine went. Correct, no? Sun can absorb the urine and disinfect the place. The place is clean, sun is pure, but the impurity is sent away. You see, that is the power of the sun. Similarly, Lord Krishna, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, simply when the soldiers glanced on his beauty, he took away their sinful reactions when Arjuna sent their arrows. There is a verse which says that, Tatai vacha ne naraloka veera yahabe Krishna Mukaravindam. They were actually saying the Krishna Mukaravindam. Mukaravindam means lotus face. Netrai pibanto, they were drinking with their eyes. Netrai pibanto nayana abhiramam partha astra putaha padama purasya. Partha is Arjuna. Arjuna's astra purified them. Because Arjuna's astra and Krishna's astra are non-different. Krishna only is telling Partha to send the arrows. So the arrows touched the bodies of the enemies. It evaporated all the sinful reactions. And when they glanced at Krishna, they had awakened love of God. See, the arrow removed them from samsara. And they looking at Krishna awakened love in their hearts. So the total is, sum total is what? They were relieved of samsara and they entered into spiritual world. Like that it is said. So Krishna is so powerful, millions of soldiers, he can send them all back to Godhead in one glance only. Just by standing in the midst of all of them. Therefore he is saying you are anavadyam. You are completely pure. Your body is completely pure. And also, Krishna's body is always fragrant. You know, you all know Putana's body when it was cut into pieces and burned. What smell came? Nasty smell came? What smell came? Fragrant smell, like sandalwood fragrance. Why? Because the two lips of Krishna touched her body. That's the only reason. Can you imagine? Just the two lips of baby Krishna touched the body of Putana, because of which the whole body of Putana became fragrant, like athar or like kasturi. So that is Krishna's purity. In order to know the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet, therefore every morning we, after offering to deities, when you smell it, you should remember, this is the way Krishna's lotus feet smells. So that is the fragrance of every limb of his body. So, he is saying, tasmad bhavantam anavadyam anantam. Anantam means, this Purusha exists from the dawn of creation. And even before the dawn of creation. And he will exist for all time to come. He will never be destroyed. See, generally, any young girl in a marriageable age is looking for a husband who will be handsome, who will be earning a good money, who will also be strong enough. He should not be too weak. Not that you blow, he flies away. They want little healthy fellow, and also earning good money also, you know, he can purchase all her necessities also, correct, no? And you should be handsome also, and you should be gentle in speech, good behaved, well, nicely behaved with her, and she can take his shelter and live in his custody, and he will give her house, you know, car and facilities and everything. And she thinks that I can live with this husband forever, ever after, happily. Huh? Everybody asks this. Similarly, the jiva also is like a woman, is like a prakriti. Huh? And he is looking for a boss. Hmm? Which is the master I can take shelter of? Huh? And that master should be handsome, he should be gentle in speech, he should be very strong, and he should be a possessor of all the opulences. When one sees like that, so in this world, many of the people go and take shelter of IT companies because IT company bosses are able to give them good money. So they go to IT companies because there is a potential to go abroad and you can make more money. And they think, you know, I can then have all the opulences. People go. And sometimes the boy works very hard for a boss, thinking that the boss will give me promotion. But the boss gets transferred and goes elsewhere. Isn't it? Or the company puts him on bench and removes this fellow. Whereas Krishna is Anantam, he says. Anantam means he is a master who will never die. He will always exist. So whatever good work you do for him will not be forgotten even after you die also. It will be, the record will be kept by him. Like for Muchukunda, he was sleeping in a cave. Lord came and shook him up, woke him up. And Muchukunda opened his eyes and said, who are you? Lord asked him, what are you asking? Who are you? You only wanted to see me in your previous life. Prarthitam prachuram purvam, he said. You have done lot of prarthana for me in your previous life. And therefore I have kept the record of your good activities in the past. Now I have come to give you darshan. So Lord keeps record of your bhakti birth after birth. Therefore bhakti is an indelible file. It's permanently recorded by the Lord. So he said anantam. You are the master who is worthy to be served because you never die. I can go on serving you and you will never forget. And aparam, anantaparam means what? There is no jurisdiction for you. Like Yamaraja has jurisdiction only over sinful living entities. Isn't it? Our Prime Minister of India has jurisdiction only within India. Correct? Our Chief Minister has jurisdiction only within Maharashtra. Everybody has a jurisdiction. But for Krishna, there is no jurisdiction, he said. Why? You went to Yamaloka and brought the son of your guru back. Because Krishna went to Yamaloka and told Yamaraj, my guru son is here, please get him. And then he put him in the front. And then Yamaraj asked, what about his sinful account? Krishna said, in my name you write it off. He said, Guru Putra Mihanitam Nijakarma Nibandhanam Anayasva Maharaja Machasana Puraskritaha. You cancel all his sinful account and send him with me. Who can say that? Only a person who is a master of Yama. Only he can tell Yama to cancel it. Similarly, Krishna goes to the Mahavishnu Loka to get those four children back. I don't want to get into their pastime because I will lose time. You all know it, you will read in the Krishna book. One Brahmana's four children were stolen away somehow. And then Krishna took Arjuna to Mahavishnu Loka. You see, what Mahavishnu told him, Dujatmajame Yuvayo Didrikshuna, is telling, oh Krishna and Arjuna, only to get a sight of you, I stole these four children. Like that Mahavishnu is telling. Now, Arjuna was very, see, it said about Arjuna, Nishamya Vaishnavam Dhamam Partha Parama Vismitaha. When he saw Mahavishnu Loka, Partha Parama Vismitaha, he became very amazed by seeing the Mahavishnu's abode. Yatkinchit Paurusham Pumsam Mene Krishna Anukampitam. It's only by Krishna's mercy that I could go to that abode of Vishnu and see such an amazing abode. Like that Arjuna was thinking. And then that Arjuna had a very serious question. Why did Vishnu say that Yuvayoho Didrikshana? I wanted to see Krishna and Arjuna. See, Didrikshana means what? A constant eagerness to see. It is not that I wanted to see you only once. See, especially you ask a mother or a father, you know, they may say we want to see our child. But how often you want to see? As frequently as possible. If the boy has gone to school, as soon as he comes back, you want to see. Then next day he goes to school again, when he comes back, you want to see. You want to see again and again. So Vishnu also wanted to see Krishna again and again. So Didrikshana means that's the meaning. So Arjuna had a question, why Vishnu wants to see Krishna? That means Krishna has to be Vishnu's master. Otherwise, why he wants to see? Why will a master want to see his servant? So, Lord Vishnu said, but why I brought these children? Because he knew very well that in Dwaraka, nobody can enter into Dwaraka. Even Vishnu cannot sneak into Dwaraka and get darshan of Krishna because Dwaraka is a very secure, protected place. And not only that, in Dwaraka, Vishnu could have sent his servant to steal the children. But nobody can be stolen from Dwaraka without Krishna's permission. Because Govinda Bhujaguptayam, Dwaravatyam, it is said that Dwaraka is protected by Krishna's arms. Therefore, Mahavishnu himself stole those four children. And he knew that for the sake of Brahmana's happiness, Krishna will come to me. So Krishna is going to Mahavishnu Loka, Krishna is going to Yamaloka, he is going to Varuna Loka and bringing his father back, Nanda Baba. Isn't it? So there is no jurisdiction for Krishna. He can go anywhere and do anything. Nobody can control him. Because he is God, that's the meaning. So, Tasmat Bhavantamanavadyamanantaparam Sarvajnam. He is all knowing. All knowing means he knows our past, he knows our present, he knows everything about who we are and what is our account, and he keeps it and he will never forget it. And he is all knowing he is the master of Akunta Vikunta Dishnya, means the spiritual abode where there are no miseries, and he is the master of that. So he said, therefore I surrender myself to you, my Lord. Like that, who said? Uddhava said to Krishna. Now all these things I told you now, they are not only applicable to Krishna, they are also applicable to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also Krishna only. Whether it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Ram or Krishna, Vishnu, they all are anavadyam. They all are Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna is the original candle. And all other Ram, Vishnu, they are all like subsequent candles. Ramadi Murti Shukalaniya Mena Tishtan. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sakshat Krishna. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Haladini Shakti Rasmat Ekatmana Vabi Bhuvipura Deha Bedam Gatautau Chaitanyakyam Prakatamadhuna Tadbayam Chaikyamaptam Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. See, this verse says, once upon a time, Lord Krishna, in the spiritual world, he was very amazed by the devotee's love for him. And he wanted to know how the devotees have so much affection for him. They don't even desire moksha also. See, when Krishna appeared in this world, you all know the pastime of Radharani as a small child with her eyes closed, correct, no? And then when Krishna put his head above the cradle, Radharani, that's the first time she opened her eyes. But after that, Krishna never met Radharani for a long time. Now when Krishna became like 7 or 8 years old, Radha also grew up in another place. One day Krishna and cowherd boys, they went to the Barsana side to play. So they were playing a game. And what was the game? One cowherd boy was blindfolded and all other cowherd boys were hiding in different places. And this boy is supposed to find out, you know, who is where. So Krishna was hiding behind a tree. And similarly, Radharani and her sakis, they were also playing the same game among their friends. So Radharani was blindfolded and she was searching her friends in Barsana, different places. So Radharani came to the tree behind which Krishna was hiding, hoping some cowherd boy will come. So Radharani came from behind and put her hand on Krishna's shoulder like this. And then Krishna turned around and Radharani took her, the blindfold, she took it like this. And when she saw this personality, after a long time she is seeing, isn't it? With his curly locks of hair, with peacock feather, with big broad eyes like lotus petals, with a smiling moon-like face, and his bluish body like a sapphire shining with a pitambar. When Radharani saw that, she couldn't speak a word. She was stunned. And when Krishna saw Radharani's golden complexion form, beautiful, similar, very attractive form, of Shrimati Radharani. As soon as he saw her, instantly he fainted unconscious. Now why he fainted unconscious? Because the Lord is amazed by simply seeing his devotees. See, this is one reason why we have to respect the devotees. The Lord is also fainting seeing devotees. So we should not take devotees cheaply. Correct, no? Lord is amazed by, because Lord thinks in his heart, What is the quality of this devotee? This devotee doesn't want Indra's post or Brahma's post or moksha also. This devotee wants to serve me 24/7 with no other aspiration. So as soon as he saw Radha's form, he understood this is a supreme Shakti, Swarup Shakti. Immediately he fainted unconscious. Then Radharani saw this boy who was fainted unconscious. She didn't know what to do. She ran away from that place. Then after going to her friends, Radharani said, "Hey, my dear friends, today I saw this beautiful personality. What can I say? You know, this personality has entered my chitta, my heart. I can't forget him for a moment. But this is what happened. He fainted unconscious. And I have such a hard-hearted, I am so hard-hearted that I didn't take any steps. I didn't even sprinkle some water on his face. I came running away. So I will not eat anything henceforth," she said, "unless I know that he is safe and secure." Then Gopi said, "What are you saying?" Then they all went to that spot, to the tree, and went behind the tree, and they said, "We didn't find that fellow. That means he must have gotten up and gone." She said, No. "How do you know that? Maybe it's another tree. You didn't go to the right tree." So then they all went to Nanda Bhavan and told Yashoda that we have come. Radharani is expert in teaching Veena. So she has come with the Veena. "Is your son safe?" They found out who it was. And then when she saw Krishna was safe, Radharani became very happy. He's safe. And they both saw each other and they cried. And that became the Prem Sarovar. Isn't it? So the tears. So why I told you this? Krishna is amazed by the devotion of Srimati Radharani. So much so that he feels, I also want to taste the sweetness of devotion to Krishna. Krishna himself. Therefore, we should never have hesitation in being servant. Because even Lord wants to taste being servant. It is such a wonderful position. Sometimes, you know, His Holiness Dhanavir Maharaj, when he joined as a new brahmachari in Los Angeles temple, there was some Kesha Prabhu who was the president at that time. So, Kesha Prabhu used to come in front of the van and tell the brahmacharis, "Hey, go and get the box, Sankirtan boxes, and put it in the van." So Dhanavir Maharaj was a small brahmachari at the time. So you tell him, "Hey, come here." He'll come here. Pick up the box, put it inside, close the door. Then Dhanavir Swami was a very young brahmachari. He said, "Am I a servant that he is actually ordering me?" You know, like that he thought. He said, And later on he said to himself, "Yeah, actually I am servant only because philosophy says I am servant. Not only servant, servant of the servant. So, but when he was a small new brahmachari, it was hurting to his ego, he says, that any of us, if somebody is commanding us, we feel little insulted. Correct, no? So, therefore, one should not feel insulted. If somebody calls us servant, we should know that they have reminded us of our actual identity. Correct, no? That is a fact, actually. One time my spiritual master was telling, if somebody ridicules you that you are very small, so he said, you should tell him that you are looking at my body and you are calling it small. Actually, I am much more smaller than that. I am only balagrashata bhagasya. 1/10,000th of the tip of the hair. I am smaller than what you think of me as small. Correct, no? He said, so where is the question of getting humiliated? In fact, his humiliation also is a glorification. You understand why? Because he is thinking, I am this much small, but I am actually even more smaller. Either he said. So, one shouldn't fear being called a servant. Because Krishna himself wants to experience the joy of being a servant. So, therefore, there are many pastimes that Krishna does in the spiritual world, which give the reason for how, at one particular point of time, namely 500 years ago, on this earth, he descends as this Mahapurusha, who is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want to come with the big pomp as God, as he came as Krishna, Ram, or anybody else. He wanted to keep himself hidden for various reasons. One reason is he wanted to taste the devotional service without being overtly glorified by people as God. Therefore, if somebody would call him God, he would plug his ears and say, "Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu," he would say. But based on the records in the scriptures, everybody knew that he is none other than Krishna himself. As the Krishna Varnam, Tushak Krishnam, these verses say. Even Garga Rishi said, out of the four colors, he said, all the three colors have appeared before. The fourth color is the golden one. Rakto Pitas. So in that he says, in that Pita, the yellow form or the golden form, in which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. So, The Mahaprabhu's appearance is also predicted by Prahlad Maharaj in one of his verses, where he calls the Lord as a Triyugi. Triyugi means he appears in three yugas as Supreme Lord, but in the fourth yuga he comes as a Kalau Chan Abhavat, he says. He comes in a covered form. And that is the reason why he comes in a covered form. Because in Kali Yuga, in the 10th canto, it is said, like the, you know, Jugunu? Jugunu means like a glowworm. The glowworms in the trees at night, they give out little light. And they are very proud that we can, you know, we are emanating some light. But can you use that light to cross the road or walk in the road? That's not enough. Only moonlight is necessary, isn't it? Similarly, in this age of Kali Yuga, many Jugunu-like, glowworm-like organizations will crop up. They will call you, come here, we will make you happy. Be in the present. Don't worry about the past or future. You know, be positive. Think good about yourself. There are so many organizations which talk how they can make you happy. But many of them have no Shastric basis at all. They don't talk one word from Shastra. They are all arising from the fertile 200 gram gray matter of somebody. There are many organizations like that, if you see. They are all compared to the Jugunu or Globum. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is compared to the moon. Sometimes the moon is also covered by the cloud, but when the cloud moves, then the moon can give light. Now we all have, you know, taken birth in this world when the moon is giving light. The moon of Gaurachandra, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving out light, and we have come at the time when Mahaprabhu has appeared 500 years ago, and his movement is now in a flourishing mode. And this is all predicted in the scriptures, how the holy name will go all around the world. And so, therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, especially as a yuga avatar, to spread the chanting of the holy name. See, in the second para, he says, Deyam Sada, always you should be meditated upon. Therefore, we chant, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita, Gadadara, Srivasadi, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. They indicate that there are no hard and fast rules in this age for chanting the holy names of Krishna. And in Kali Yuga, the authorized process of meditation is to chant the holy name of the Lord. And then the Mahamantra is given. You see, there are no hard and fast rules. Means, in the Vedic chant, there are many hard and fast rules. You all know this. In Bhagavatam, we read, one fellow wanted to get a child to kill Indra. Tvashta, correct now. So while offering the ahuti, he said, Indra Shatroho. Little elongated pronunciation he made. So instead of getting a child to kill Indra, he got a child who will be killed by Indra. In Sanskrit, slight pronunciation mistake you make, the meaning can become different. Braja jana palana asura kula nashana, if you say. So that is the meaning of that. But if you say braja jana palana surakula nashana, that's what. Surakula means demigods. Lord doesn't kill the demigods. He kills whom? Asurakula nashana, correct, no? So therefore in Sanskrit, one mistake you do, the whole meaning gets completely changed. So the Sanskrit pronunciation has to be made very careful. One should make. So in the Vedic chant, if one item is missing, you cannot do the Vedic sacrifice. Like till is forgotten. No, you cannot start. And Dhruva grass is forgotten. You cannot start. And it has to be done at a particular time. There is Rahu Kal, and there is a Shubha Kal. Like marriages are done at a particular period of time. Similarly, Yajna, to start Yajna, there has to be a particular Shubha Tithi and Shubha Muhurta, both. Tithi is also important. Muhurta is important. And also the Brahmana should be very learned in the Vedic mantras. And they should be able to recite the mantra very precisely, without any committing mistake. Because if they commit mistake, the meanings will change. They will not remain. So, that means the Brahmana should be properly learned also. So, how many conditions you have to perform yajna? You need multiple ingredients. So, the Brahmanas perform all this kind of Vedic sacrifices. But for the chanting of the holy name, you don't need anything. Even if you cannot pronounce very nicely. There was one boy in IIT days, he came to our classes. And he saw, and he told Devamrita Prabhu in those days, that your students, you know, they are chanting Hare Krishna, they're chanting. He said, they should chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Like that they should chant. Hare Rama, not Rama. Huh? Of course, he gave us pronunciation class for 2-3 weeks and then disappeared. Huh? Never came after that. Huh? That was. So some people are more particular about Sanskrit pronunciation, but they are not becoming devotees, you see. On the other hand, people who are still chanting Rama, Rama, Krishna, Krishna, they are still here around. Huh? Correct, no? Because Krishna is a Bhavagrahi. Correct, no? He is a Bhavagrahi. So, therefore, in this organization, even if one may not be a very great Sanskrit pronouncer, or even if one may not be very meticulous about the ingredients, therefore he says there are no hard and fast rules. You see, after the Vamanadeva Leela got over, Vamanadeva was still standing. And Bali Maharaj was already sent to Suttala Loka. He went away. And Shukracharya was also standing. Nobody else was there. All other people had gone away. Now Lord is standing and Shukracharya is standing. And Lord wanted to joke with Shukracharya. So Lord told Shukracharya, "Hey Shukracharya, what went wrong with your disciple that he lost all the three worlds? You know, now he became bankrupt. What went wrong with your disciple?" And Shukracharya said, "My Lord, what are you saying? He didn't go bankrupt. In fact, he got the owner of all the three worlds, which is yourself, as his doorkeeper in the Sutala Loka. So there is no loss for him." And then he quoted one mantra, one shloka. Mantratas tantratas chidram deshakalarha vastutaha sakalam karoti nishchidram anusankirtanam tava. He says, if somebody does sankirtan, he's saying sakalam karoti nishchidram. He's saying, chidram means whole. Desha, kala, vastu. In this, if there are some mistakes, those holes are all covered up when you chant the holy names. Like that is saying. Mantratas, tantratas, chidram. While doing the mantra, tantra and all these things, any deficiencies may be there. Like sometimes when we do deity worship, at the end we say that, you know, whatever mistakes I committed, you know, in my chanting of the mantra, please kindly forgive me. Like that we chant a prayer. Similarly, here he says that when you chant Hare Krishna, Lord doesn't take any offense with your pronunciation. Like, you know, morning time we have to chant, early morning. But if you didn't complete the round, then you can chant at night also, or in the afternoon also. So that freedom is there. Whereas for the certain Gayatri mantra means, you know, you have to chant at the Sandhya call only. Pratah Sandhya, Madhyanika Sandhya, Sayam Sandhya. Whereas Hare Krishna you can chant any time of the day, there is no restriction. Is it not true? And Gayatri, there is a fixed count how much you should chant. But Mahamantra, there is no count. You can chant as many as you want. The more you chant, better it is. See, there is one statement made here that one should constantly and always chant, it is said. Do you know what will happen if you regularly chant and regularly perform devotional service? We will see the Lord eye to eye. That promise is made in the scriptures. And Lord will first give us knowledge as supasol. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Tesham satata yuktanam. If you do that, then dadami buddhi yogam tam. Lord will speak to you as supasol from within your heart. If you are constantly devoted to Him. See, what is the meaning of constantly devoted? For example, you are standing in the queue for making a ticket. You should not be just standing. Take the bead bag and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Correct, no? Whenever there is a free time, one should immediately chant or read some book. So one boy said, "Prabhuji, reading book is more easy. I will carry a book," he said. If you cannot chant, then you read a book. So some type of devotional service we should do at every moment during the day without wasting our valuable human life. Like for example, Mataji is cooking in the kitchen. She can cook in the kitchen while she can be shouting at the children, "Hey, you are not reading this, you are not doing that." Instead, she can put on a recording of some Prabhupada lecture or some kirtan. And that means that the cooking also becomes devotional service. A man has to go to office. Like one man was telling me, "Prabhuji, you know, I don't get time to touch Prabhupada books. There is no time." Then I asked him how long it takes to go to office. He said, "Oh, there's a heavy traffic in the morning. It takes me 1 hour to drive one way, one going one way, 1 hour, coming 1 hour." Then I told him, "Take some Prabhupada lectures." And he started. And he started playing Prabhupada lectures. Now he's an enlightened man, very happy now. So every day he's hearing 2 hours now. So we can take special initiatives to constantly perform devotional service in our life. That's what is the meaning. So on one hand, there is a compromise given that there are no hard and fast rules. So one boy asked Jayadutt Maharaj, Maharaj, I heard there are no hard and fast rules. So is it all right if you lie down and chant? He asked. And even Lord Vishnu is lying down in Anantashesh. Can we also lie? Lord is lying, so we will also lie. Maharaj said, see, there are no hard and fast rules, but there are soft and slow rules. He said, what is one of the soft and slow rules is, within that day you have to complete the rounds, 16 rounds or whatever. Similarly, you should not chant in any posture that makes you sleep. If you lie down and hear, then you may go to sleep, isn't it? So then the boy asked, Maharaj, I have another question. Can you watch TV and chant? He said, no. Because then where is the concentration? You cannot concentrate on the holy name. Then he asked, Maharaj, when you are driving a scooter, can we chant? Along with that, some rounds you can finish. So he said, see, if you want to, for example, there is going to be a marriage engagement for you, for that boy. You know, so you and your family members go in 2-3 scooters, and your Sambandhi people, girl and her parents, go in 2-3 scooters. Will you do Sambandha while going in a scooter? Sambandha making is a very serious business. So you will call them to your home, give them chair, give them in a proper place, and then there will be a talk, correct, no? Do we do it in a scooter? He said, definitely not, he said. The chanting also is like that. It's a serious business. You are having an interview with Radha and Krishna, and you are asking, can I do it in a scooter? What a cool name. You are calling out the Lord's name. Lord is coming. So, actually, you will see, one congregation devotee was telling that this man was telling that he used to sit in the drawing room. Drawing room means the entrance room. And he would be chanting. And milkman will come and he will tell the wife, hey, milkman has come. And she will go and pick up the milk and go. And then now the child is going to school and the child will come. And he will tell, he will ask the child, did you take that book? Did you take that book? And then there's chanting also going on along with that, sitting there. So in this way, different, he was attending to all these things. And his chanting became very poor, poor quality. Then he learned from another devotee that chanting has to be done very seriously. So then he started going into the sanctum sanctorum. He had a puja room, in a small puja room. He would light up a lamp there and sit there. Now even wife would sometimes come to the entrance room to find out where the husband. When she sees that he is sitting inside the puja room, she will not disturb. Chanting gambir tasi chal raha. Gambir chanting. Disturb mat karo usko. Then instead of disturbing him, she will just make a phone call to the shop and ask him to send something. Otherwise, she will send him. So therefore, our chanting should be such that others will be afraid to disturb us. Correct, huh? So why I am telling this? Because this is a simple procedure in Kali Yuga, chanting of the holy name. Let us at least take it up as seriously as possible. Right, no? So recently I read a definition of what is strict devotee, a serious devotee, and sincere devotee. From Prabhupada's different purports. His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu says. So, what he says about strict devotee, a strict devotee is one who strictly adheres to his vows taken. Like some devotees take a vow that unless I complete my rounds, I will not eat anything. Even breakfast I will not take unless I complete my rounds. Strict devotee. Like Patarka Lakir, we say, no? Like a lion is drawn on a stone. Raghunadas Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they all took very strict vows that we will go around Govardhan every day. And so they were very strict about the vows they took. Even in old age also they followed it. So all of you sitting here, you all have taken some vows that every day we will chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles. If you strictly adhere to those vows, the results will come faster. So that is first thing. Serious devotee means, the serious devotee will not take a U-turn from becoming a serious devotee, especially when there are allurements or calamities in life. For Haridas Thakur, there was an allurement. He did not give up chanting. For Prahlad Maharaj, there was calamity in life. Still, he did not give up his devotional service. These are all serious devotees. For Jadabharat, there were great calamities which came in his way, like the dacoits captured him to kill him. and there was insult hurled on him by Rahugana, but they never gave up devotional service. Rather, they utilized those opportunities to become more serious. So serious devotee is neither attracted by allurements or temptations, or never weakened by calamities. Calamities that may come, dangers and calamities which may come. So serious devotee. So, and sincere devotee is one who has no material motives. One who has come to Krishna consciousness only to attain love for Krishna, loving service to Krishna. This is a very important thing. Because when you go to spiritual world, at the entrance we will be stopped. They will ask you, who are you? And we should chant, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale. Then they will say, okay, he's an ISKCON fellow. He's a Prabhupada's man, Brahma Madhav Gaudiya Sampradaya. Okay, very good qualification. You are already 50% qualified. Then they will ask you, what do you want to do inside? What you should say? You should ask for easy chair to relax. You should not say, I have been chanting the 16 rounds for so many years. Now give me easy chair to relax. They will say, go back. Practice more and come. Isn't it? So we should say that, I want to go inside to render service. Then they will ask, service to whom? Service to Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. We should not say, I like to serve only the Supreme Lord. And I had always problem with all the devotees. this fellow, that fellow. Can you say like that? Then they will say, go back, they will say. So we have to render service to Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas. Then they will ask you, how long you want to serve? As such, I don't have so much eagerness for service. Maybe 1 week or 2 weeks. They will say, go back. You should say, I want to serve for how long? For all time to come. Then they will say, chatak chat, permission granted, go inside. Isn't it? So, for us to do this there, right now we have to build our consciousness. For that we have to, no hard and fast rules, agreed. That doesn't mean there are no rules. We have to become strict devotees, sincere devotees, serious devotees in our practice. Another meaning of sincerity is also not blaming anyone for anything, but taking responsibility in one's life. That is sincerity. And not harboring any malice towards other living beings. Like what Dhruva Maharaj's mother told Dhruva. Because if we become negatively focused on other living entities, always hating them and blaming them, then our bhajan will be affected. It will not be very focused. For us to do peaceful bhajan, we should take responsibility. Gajendra Moksha, if you read the prayers, in one of the prayers it is said, when Gajendra was caught by the crocodile, initially he turned around to his relatives. They were all catching his tail and pulling him. They couldn't help him. Then he understood, nobody can help me. Then he cried. And then he thought, I am helpless, I am very weak now. You know what he thought in his mind? Especially Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has written. He said, due to my own sins of the past, I am suffering this kind of prarabdha karma, he said. Next moment, Lord Vishnu gave him intelligence to offer prayers. The moment he took responsibility, immediately Lord Vishnu gave him intelligence. So we also, in our lives, instead of blaming the other living entities for our problems, if we take responsibility, then Lord will give us dadami buddhi yogam tam yanamampayantite. To return back to him, he will give us the buddhi. Actually, by not blaming others, we will have no quarrel with anybody in this world. We can peacefully do our bhajan very nicely. So in this way, the chanting of the holy name is taught by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a Mahapurusha for this age. And he is the most merciful personality who kills not the demons, but the demoniac mentality in the hearts of all the living beings. So you know that famous verse, Anarpita charim chirat karunayadavatirna kalav samarpayitum unnatojvala rasam swabhaktim shriyam haripurata sundara dyutik kadamba sandipitah sada hridaya kandare Swaratau Vashachinandanaha. This verse was written by Rupa Goswami in glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, may that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has a golden complexion, who is Krishna himself, he is like a very powerful lion, he says. Why? In our heart, which is like a gufa, our anarthas are compared to a dark elephant, which has entered into our cave, like heart. Imagine, the elephant is running and a lion is chasing and the elephant enters into a cave. And similarly, our anarthas are compared to a dark, big elephant which has entered into the cave of our hearts. And a lion is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who goes inside our heart and knocks down the elephant and drags him out of the cave. Like that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will drag out all our anarthas from our heart when we take shelter of his lotus feet. May he remove all your anarthas and fix you in the path of devotional service. Like that, Rupa Goswami is giving all of us his blessings in this particular verse. So, I would request all of you to repeat this famous verse from Narada's conclusion while speaking to Vedavyas. Yetadatura chittanam matrasparishechaya muhu bhavasindu plave naiva bhavasindu plavo drashto haricharyanuvarnanam. See, in this verse also the boat example is given. Lord's lotus feet is like a boat. There, Narada is telling, two things are compared to a boat in Kali Yuga. So we are all in Kali Yuga, samsara, sagara. So in this ocean, we want to go back to Godhead. How to go? This is the boat. What is the boat, he says? Chanting of the holy name and hearing of the holy fame. What is the holy fame? Srimad Bhagavatam. So chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and regular recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. If you do these two things, you are sitting in the safe boat and you are being taken back home, back to Godhead. So this Narada Muni is telling Vedavyas, this is what Kali Yuga Vasi should do. Because Kali Yuga, there is only one good quality. When I was in my school days, one person gave me a Bhagavatam, one volume Bhagavatam, 10th canto, in Tamil language, as a gift. So when I opened the first page of the Bhagavatam, one shloka was written. Please repeat that shloka, I will tell you what it was. Kalau dosha nidhe rajan asti ekan mahan gunan kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sanga param brajet. So this verse says, I was amazed by the translation. It says, Kalau dosha nidhe. Kali Yuga is ocean of faults. So if any of you want to show fault in anyone, don't think you are great by finding fault, because it is like standing in front of this ocean beach and telling somebody, I will show you some droplets of water. What drops of water? There is an ocean of water. So showing fault is very easy in Kali Yuga, but there is only one good quality, he says. What is it? Astihi ekan mahan gunan. That ekan mahan gunan is kirtanat, eva krishnasya. You will find groups of people coming in Sangha and chanting the holy name. And if you join that Sangha, you will go back to Godhead. That was mentioned. Ever since I read that verse, I started moving around searching for groups of devotees doing kirtan. I ended up in one bhajane madam, where they were doing the kirtan. So I joined the bhajane madam as one of the members. So I was convinced, now if I do bhajan like this with these people, I'll go back to Godhead. And then later on when I went to IIT and everything, then I understood it is not just doing bhajan. We should do bhajan with full understanding and awareness of who Krishna is. And then I understood that kind of sangha is offered by ISKCON, started by Srila Prabhupada. ISKCON is like a very big ship which is taking thousands and thousands of devotees in the ship. And there is a big flag in the top in which it's written ISKCON. And there is a captain with a cap who is steering the ship. Who is that? Srila Prabhupada. And all of us are chanting and dancing in the ship. And the ship is moving through the dirty gutter waters of Kali Yuga. The Kali Yuga samsara is like Nalapani. Dirty age where people are drinking, smoking, drugs, everything all around. But we are very safe and purely situated because we have taken shelter of this ship. And we should not jump out of the ship. Remain inside safely, chanting the holy name, hearing the holy fame of Bhagavatam. Coming month, we are going to celebrate the Prabhupada's book marathon. So I will speak 5 minutes about it and I will conclude my talk. When His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu came to Pune, he told us one analogy which deeply entered my heart. I cannot forget it for my life. It was such a thrilling analogy it was. He said, in the Vedic times, they would do yajna, correct? So for the Kali Yuga, what is the yajna? Sankirtan yajna. In the Vedic times, or in Treta Yuga, they were doing fire yajna. So he was comparing these two yajñas. So in the fire yajña, what they would put? They would put an animal like Gomedha yajña or Ashwamedha yajña. If they would put a cow or a horse, it would come out as a human. And then the yajña is considered successful. So they were not actually throwing the animals into fire for killing and eating their flesh. That was not the purpose. But when you put the animal, who will come out? The animal will take on a human body and come out. The soul gets a promotion. It's a human body. Similarly, in this age, Kali Yuga, the chanting of the holy name is actually the yajna. So what we are doing by distributing Prabhupada books, you can see that the people to whom we are reaching these books, very soon they start chanting the holy name. And people who are like animals, they become like humans. Correct, no? So that means we have converted animal into human. Just like putting in the sacrificial fire. So we are lighting up the fire of yajna in their hearts by giving them the book. Because all of you think about your own life. You got a Prabhupada's book, you read it. Then you came in the company of devotees. You took the bead bag. As soon as you chanted, all bad habits you gave up. Meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. So, your human can become an animal or you can become like an angel. So you will find this movement is producing angel-like devotees. So, although the people were earlier, like one Utkarsh camp in Pune for the youths, there were about 1,000 youths. So I was asking a question to all of them. You all have been practicing Krishna consciousness last 1 year. Tell me, what progress have you made in this 1 year that you are very happy? So one boy raised the hand and said, I asked, what is the progress you have made? Sir, I eat vada pav only in our Govindas. He said. And everybody laughed. And then I told them, don't laugh, because earlier he used to eat vada pav anywhere and everywhere, pani puri anywhere and everywhere. Now he doesn't eat outside anywhere. He only eats Krishna prasad. That is also progress. Correct, no? Now this boy is convinced that I will eat only prasad now. Either a prasad at home or prasad at the temple. Nowhere else I will eat. So in this way, people are making progress. Somebody is smoking, he gives up smoking. Somebody is drinking, gives up drinking. So in this way, people are making progress. That means animal-like people are becoming human-like. Earlier, they were like two-legged animal. Now they have become like devatas. So this is one point. Another point was, in the Vedic times, the Gurukula boys would go to the forest and they'll bring samit sticks. Samit means samit pani. Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam, the verse is saying. Samitpani means they would bring the firewood and give it to Guru. They would bring a bundle of firewood and give it to the Brahmana Guru, and the Guru will be sitting next to the Yajna, and one by one he will put the stick into the fire. And then he would lit up the fire, sacrificial fire. In that he will offer the ahuti of ghee, offer it to Lord Vishnu. Now, in the same manner, now if you are living in Bombay city, if you all get diksha, you get initiated, where is the forest where you can bring the sticks? Yeah. And even if you come and give sticks to your spiritual master, temple will become filled with sticks. What will you do? So the same wooden sticks are in a transformed form of, in the form of books. Because from trees only you make paper. Correct? No? In the paper you print Prabhupada books. So now if you are stocking, you know, in our godown all the books, these books are transformed wood. So if you are carrying books with you are carrying stick for the spiritual master, isn't it? And in this way you are delivering. Now the sacrificial sticks are used for creating fire. Similarly, you are delivering the books from the temple to the people and lighting up the fire of Krishna consciousness in the hearts of people. And when you lit up the Krishna consciousness, then they chant the holy name, then you make the animal into a human. So we can know that by doing this activity, we are exactly like a Vedic Gurukula student, every one of us. The advantage is even Matajis can carry books also now. In the Vedic time, generally the boys go to Gurukula and Mataji stay at home and take training from the mother. But here even both Prabhuji's, Mataji's, everybody can carry books for the pleasure of spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada. And you can take these books, reach out to the people. And when they become Krishna conscious, then you will also get a Krishna conscious commission, which means you will get mercy of Krishna also. Krishna will become pleased with you. He says that, if you distribute my books related to me, then you will please me. So it's a very golden time for us of the year when we can reach out books. And last year I was distributing Bhagavatam sets. I go home to home in Pune. Anybody who takes Bhagavatam sets, I do home delivery. I personally go to their home, keep the Bhagavatam in a decorated fashion, and we worship the Bhagavatam and have a talk on glories of Bhagavatam. So we call it as Navin Nehru. The Prabhu suggested me the idea that you install Bhagavatam in the homes of people, because Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. In Burma, there is one temple where there is no deity, only Bhagavatam set is kept. And it is worshipped every day. So Bhagavatam is worshipable. In anybody's home, if you have a Bhagavatam set, the Bhagavatam will glow and bring prosperity and happiness to all the members of the family. Even if you just keep it, if you read it, you'll go back to Godhead. You read the Bhagavatam. So I had advertised it in Pune notice board. And my Lord, I could not catch up. So many people called me. In a day, I would go to 6 or 8 homes. And I could distribute about 170 sets last year. I was stretched in all directions. Then I realized one thing. In India, people are ready for buying Bhagavatam sets. People are ready. If they are given little push. If some senior devotees go and put up a program in the house of devotees and distribute Bhagavatam sets, then people who attend the program, they raise their hand and said, please come to our home also. And then in this way, Bhagavatam sets go in a very, very big number. So I seek all of your blessings that this year, again, I am venturing in the same direction, that I want to cross even 200 sets this year. So I don't want to waste one moment during this marathon. Our marathon is starting on 15th November in Pune, 15th November to 25th December, for about 40 days. So I not only want to sit here and give lectures to people, but I want to go and personally distribute and reach out. Because carrying books of Prabhupada means carrying samit sticks for the Guru, like the Vedic Guru class student. Like this Vaisheshika Prabhu said, and it was very pleasing to hear this. Because there is a one-to-one corresponding analogy between the Vedic student and the modern-day students. Because in spirit, we all are like Vedic students only. Because our spiritual life has taken such a big shape by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada ki? Srila Prabhupada Granth Vigrant Program ki? Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki? Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki? Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Radhesham Prabhu, for such a wonderful class. It was real nectar. Began with nectar, continued with nectar, and ended with nectar.